Welcome, everybody. Welcome. Bienvenidas to another episode of Mujer de Éxito Unbounded, Woman of Success Without Limits. I am so incredibly grateful for every one of you that is listening to the podcast. My name is Marty Angel, and I am your host for Mujer de Éxito Unbounded, which means Woman of Success Without Limits. And I want to share something. I am incredibly grateful for the fact that I get to interview an awesome, amazing young woman that I have been blessed to, you know, be, I call her my friend. I hope she doesn't, get upset, but I have been blessed to be friends with and to also be a co-author with as we wrote. Each one of us wrote our chapter for Latinas Who Boss Up, and she is an amazing young lady, and I just want to say gracias por estar aquí. Vamos a ver cómo vamos a escuchar a esta mujercita derecha y hecha, y me da mucho gusto que esté aquí. Dr. Lee Sanchez, put your hands together. Gracias por estar aquí. Thank you so much, Dr. Lee.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. I'm actually working on that. I'm thinking of just like dropping the title totally. We'll get into that a little bit in the story, but
yeah, that would be interesting to do. I ended up keeping, people kept calling me Dr. Marty when I was, you know, even though I'm a dropout, and it was like, no, you're still Dr. Marty. And I'm going to go, okay. Whatever. But thank you. Gracias por estar aquí. And we are here, so we want to hear your story. Now, for those of you that are watching the video, I'm going to be reading because this woman has so many accolades. But she is a first-generation college student, a licensed clinical psychologist, a coach, a podcaster, an author, a speaker, a mom, a wife. And, you know, she's also been an educator and, you know, she's got a lot of things, but she mentors, coaches, and counsels women of color to break generational patterns and build generational wealth. She is also the host of a podcast herself. And hers is very similar to share the voices of women of color, which is critically important. So that's a lot of things. Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Of all of those things that I just said, which one is the one that you're most proud of?
Oh, it's so cliche, but being a mom. Mom and wife probably. Come from a long line of divorcees. And so like my marriage is so sacred to me and I have the most amazing husband. And through that relationship, we have two beautiful children. And that's actually the title and the hat that I like resisted the most, but like so much beauty. And like, I've had such a great gift of life lessons. And I learn as much from my kids as I, you know, aim to teach them. So mom is probably the top of the list, and then wife, and then all the other career ones.
I would say that everything else is what we do,
yes,
but who we are being is mom, wife.
Yes.
Right.
And I've always been the mama bear, like in my friend groups, and I'm just a natural like nurturer and caretaker and
leader.
Natural leader. Like I've always been since really little. You know, looking after everyone else, making sure everyone else was okay. I'm an includer. Like, I don't like people feeling left out. So,
Agree. Well, tell me a little bit about, tell us all a little bit about Elise Chiquita.
Little Elise. So she was just so bright, so full of life, so creative and a little rebel. Like I was totally the kid that, you know, straight A student, but like talks too much, too social in class, and pushed boundaries a little, you know, tested the boundaries. And yeah, I was like a performer. I was a gymnast for like 15 years. I was in like ballet folklorico. I did tap and ballet. I did boxing and softball, like all the sports, did all the things, was super active, tons of energy. And then I think over the years, I just let life and everything, just like, you know, school, like went to Catholic school my whole life, put all these like restrictions and like kept shrinking me. I let them shrink me and put me into a box. And so little by little, like she started dying. Like she just got trapped and suffocated. And COVID is what actually like rebirthed her, like brought her back out. And COVID, and actually becoming a mom first off, I think is what did it. I had my daughter 3 years ago and I struggled really bad with depression and anxiety after her birth. And a lot of that was like little Elise wounds that were like brought to light and her mirroring that to me, like things that I needed, things that I had to give to myself, wounds that needed to be addressed. And it was really intense, you know, just being a mom and like now having this life depend on me. And after being with my husband for 10 years, we had developed our lifestyle and instantly, you know, it all changed. And so a lot of adjusting for me, but ultimately, like I said before, like it was just such a great gift to like be given that opportunity. And so now through motherhood, it's like bringing little Elise back. Like now I get to play with my kids again, be creative and do all the stuff that I enjoyed doing as a kid that I see my daughter enjoy doing. And so I'm really conscious about not shrinking her and putting her into that box, because that's definitely what I learned as a kid to thrive off of, was the praise, was like being the good girl, being the good student, that I let myself let other people shrink me. I allowed other people to shrink me and dim my light until I got older. Then I realized like, no, this is not okay. And so like, I'm so conscious of that, to not do that to my kids, to let them be who they are and let them know to use their voice and stand in their truth, because that's who they were created to be. They were never created to dim themselves to make other people comfortable. So.
And interesting that you say that, because, you know, there's a lot of people listening with us. And one of the things that they may not understand is, you know, give an example of how somebody shrinks, you know, when you say allowing, you know, I allowed other people to make me shrink.
Yes.
What does that look like?
Okay. So I can give an example of like childhood. In childhood, say your parents aren't able to like handle or regulate emotionally, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're sensitive and you're emotional and you're, you know, feeling your feelings, if it's too much and too intense for them, you learn to swallow, you learn to suppress, you learn to hide how you really feel to keep them comfortable, right? Like when I'm sad or when I'm overwhelmed or when I'm crying, the adults get angry or they can't handle it, or I'm sent away. So then you learn, act like you're okay. Act like you don't care. Act like you're not upset, right? So that's one way, like in childhood, you shrink yourself because you learn they can't handle it. So maybe it's too much. Maybe I'm too much. So then you shrink, right? And then in adulthood, that can look like, let's use like social media as an example. Like people want to show up and they have all these ideas of who they want to be online, who they truly are, but there's sayers that are like, you can't do that, or who do you think you are, whatever. And so now you're like shrinking yourself and who you are and your gifts and your light to keep these people comfortable, right? Like, I don't want to show up and make them uncomfortable, but it has nothing to do with you. That's them projecting their stuff onto you. Because if they acknowledge that you're doing everything you want to do and you're accomplishing and you're happy, they have to acknowledge that it's possible for them too. And for some people, that's too much, right? Mm-hmm. And so then if you're not careful, you can easily just, oh, they're right. Like, I'm from such and such town. We don't do these things. We don't go to college. We don't have professional careers or whatever it is, right? The story. Mm-hmm. So if you're like outgrowing your environment, it's really easy to stay comfortable and to just shrink who you are to keep other people comfortable instead of finding a new environment. Like, what do plants do, right? If they're in a pot, they can't grow anymore once they've reached a certain capacity. So you have to replant and put into a bigger pot so that the plant can continue to grow. We're the same way, but for most of us, we'll just shrink and stay the same because everyone else is not willing to grow with us. So that's how we like shrink ourselves or dim our light.
And, you know, that's beautiful. I love those, let me just interject a little bit about when I, things like this, even at any age, but in my adulthood, most recently, I want to say maybe 5 years ago, I was at a get together and networking, and somebody introduced me and, and they were saying things, and the person across the table said, and we began to eat and we began to chat and everything. And I don't know what that person internalized really, but that person who I thought, was my friend, took a look at me and then said out loud to everybody, "We can't all be like you, Marty." And I was like, and I went home and I allowed that to sink in. Mm-hmm. I sucked it in. I swallowed it and I stayed quiet the rest of the night. Mm-hmm. That is exactly when I realized that I was allowing myself to be small so that somebody else wouldn't feel small.
Exactly. But that is not your problem and it's not your responsibility.
But that didn't come in until I came home and I cried a little bit, and then being, overly sensitive because I was told all the time, you can't be a speaker. Why? Because you cry when you're speaking. And and it was like, well, wait a minute. I cry because when I was a principal and one of my kids, and I say, I had 1,250 kids. There were all my kids, right? Mm-hmm. And one of them, if one of them got, special recognition from the teacher, from the community, from whatever it was, they were still my kids. Mm-hmm. And when I got the opportunity, I was standing there with a mic, and I would cry because it just, it's just like all my little brown faces looking at me because, 86% of the population I serviced was Latino. Mm-hmm. And, and then the other 10% was a mix of Asian and others. And then the 4% was white. And so, it meant a lot. And it was, I remember being told, you can't be a speaker because you cry. And that's another way when we believe those things.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. Yeah. Thank you so much for shedding light on that. It's mm-hmm. just like, at what point did you know that you wanted to be a psychologist?
For me, I always wanted to be a doctor. I used to say as a kid, I was like, I want to be a doctor, a lawyer, a cheerleader, and a waitress. Those were my careers that I was going to have.
I like the waitress best.
Yeah. And that's the only one I didn't actually do as a career. I was never a waitress. But I think about like, well, why did I like that as a kid? Like, I just love serving and I love just being in community with people. And so like as a waitress, that's what I would have done. But, that didn't come to fruition, but it's okay. And so it was always doctor. I wanted to be a pediatrician because I liked kids. I had a heart for kids. And then when I started college, I just realized like math and science is not for me. Like I really just started questioning that career path. And so I had to dig deeper and ask myself, like, what is it about a doctor that I liked? And it was helping and serving people, obviously. And so I was actually on a retreat for my school. I went to a Catholic high school. And so as a senior, you go to this week-long retreat in the mountains, like there's no phones, no nothing. And you're just like praying and like sharing stories and in community. And I got asked to be a speaker the next year. So I went back as a freshman in college and I did a talk called Know Yourself. And I shared personal things and just like talked to people about like being true to yourself and how important that was. And this was the first time that I heard God's voice. Like the first time I heard a voice that I knew wasn't my own internal voice. And it was clear, like psychology. And I, in that moment, you know, because after I did my talk, people were coming up to me, the students, and they were like, thank you so much for sharing your story. Like it was so powerful. And they just started sharing things with me. And I was like, I could do this all day. Like just listen to their stories and just talk to people. So I went back to school that following week and I changed my major from, you know, biology or chemistry. I don't even know what my major was. And changed to psychology. And it was the best thing I ever did. So it was a freshman in college when I decided like psychologist was what I wanted to do.
Right. Oh, that's an amazing story. I love it. I love it. Yeah. Helping. Interesting how you made that connection. You know, you made that connection that you liked helping people. And being a Gen Xer, it was really different for me. So funny, I ended up being an algebra teacher and a science teacher. And it was like, oh my God, what am I doing these things, right? It was nutritional science of the cell, but still it had to do with the body, but still it was so funny. But interesting, that is an amazing story that a lot of people probably don't take the time to do, which is to really think about that. You dissected that, you know, and that I think that sometimes is what we're missing.
Yes.
Is to dissect what it is. And, you know, and then you said the other example that you gave about social media. Let's move over to being a psychologist. What are the cons and the pros with social media and that you see happening to people?
Oh, gosh. So this is why I'm actually on a 30-day detox right now from social media, because it was very clear to me in like my prayer and quiet time to detach. I think it was about a month ago, I had a calling to do a 4-day detox. And that was totally from everything. Like my phone was even on silence for those 4 days. And I just got so much clarity and so much download during that time, because we're constantly on overload and like our systems can't handle so much stuff. Like I'm a highly sensitive person. So I already have a naturally sensitive immune system and like nervous system. And so with social media, especially like for adolescents, like I'm so glad that social media wasn't around when I was an adolescent. Yeah. Because, you know, like parents don't even know how to navigate it because this is a whole new world for them too. And the danger that I really see is like, we already naturally want to compare ourselves to other people.
Yeah.
And so with social media, that's constantly in your face. Like it's constantly, if you're just there scrolling, no. So like it was really clear to me to create rather than to just be consuming on there. And I think that's why social media always felt icky for me. It didn't feel like in alignment. Like I was just on there scrolling and like taking in all this information. And so then that just leads to more confusion, right? Like, oh, they're doing this and they're doing that. And I should be doing this and I should be doing that. No. So like I was starting to get into that zone again, and it was very clear, like take a 30-day detox, get really clear on what you want. And so even before this detox, like I've been very intentional with how I spend my time on social media. I'm not just on there mindlessly scrolling anymore. I go on and like intentionally will like random people will just come to me and I'll go to their pages. You know, like every day I share, like it's my random act of kindness. I have like a positive quote or a scripture or something, and people will just stand out to me on like the stories or in my feed that it'll be like this person. And I just go to them, we'll send that quote and like, hey, you're my random act of kindness today. Like I was called to like reach out to you. And almost always, like, it's my most favorite part of my day. Like, I actually really miss that part because people are always like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what I needed to hear today. Or, oh my gosh, thank you so much for reaching out. So like, that is what I think we need to shift our mindsets to, is that it's about community. It's about like feeling good. So like really thinking about what you're using social media for and like noticing when you, cause like I noticed on that first 4-day detox I did, how many times I was like just unconsciously reaching for my phone, just out of habit, you know, like to fill in the gaps in my day, like unconsciously just. And I noticed, because it's like, no, I'm not using my phone right now. But I realized how often it was just like second nature almost, you know? And so I'm like, I have to break this habit. But yeah, like really paying attention to like why you're going online. Do you tend to go online when you're already feeling bad? Because then that's a good sign that you should probably not go online, because it's going to make you feel worse. I can tell you that guaranteed, you know? And like being mindful about like the accounts you're following. Like I delete people that I'm like, this just doesn't feel good. Every time I see your stuff, I feel some type of way. So gone. Or you can mute them or whatever you want to do. But like, I don't just go on and like scroll and intake all this information. So being more mindful of like, maybe set up your favorites on there, set up like your close friends, do whatever you need to do, but not just like mindlessly scrolling and comparing yourself. Cause like comparison is the total thief of joy. And you will always find yourself in comparison mode on social media, especially if you're already like not in a good space, like just avoid it.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And you said something right now is like, we need to be a little more, I call it aggressively present, mm-hmm. and to know what are we feeling before we go on?
Yes.
You know, I was one of those that had, you know, I hired a social media coach and, you know, the Instagram expert and all of that. Mm-hmm. And if you listen to them, they've got you like posting 3 times a day, 15 stories a day. And you know what, mm-hmm. at the end of the day, you know, I was like, I ended up feeling like you said, you know, feeling like, oh, this is not fun anymore. So I really pulled back, and mm-hmm. I am more of a creator. I love to create things, and I love mm-hmm. to, you know, and being an educator, I've always, you know, I started writing my children's series of coloring books that are bilingual, and I feel so good, you know, mm-hmm. and the first one got published. It's for kids from 2 to 5. And nobody's bought it yet, but that's okay. I felt so good. I told my husband, I said, I feel so good. I feel like I'm giving to the world, because I, you know, somebody gets that color book and they can speak 2 languages and they know, you know, that. So I agree with you with what you said. It's very powerful. You have to check in with how you're feeling before you go online. Mm-hmm. And I love that random act of kindness that you said, mm-hmm. that, you know, it's like, yeah, that sounds,
that was like the connection piece is gone. Like people aren't even connecting on here. And I even noticed sometimes certain people that I send it to, they just open it and like it and that's it. And it's like, not even like a response. Like we're in the habit of just like, okay, liking it is like you responding and you thanking or you, but we're taking out that connection, that community piece, right? Instead of like starting a conversation, and you don't even have to start a conversation, but like, thank you, or a, you know, something. And I don't do it for that. So that's another thing, like paying attention. Are you on there like seeking validation? But I just, it shows me more like, yeah, that community and that connection piece is not there. People are just like consuming and like feeling bad about themselves or comparing themselves.
You know, comparison is definitely will kill your joy. You know, it's like kill joy all the way through. Mm-hmm. I totally agree. Now you have, you also have a young baby, mm-hmm. and you're a new mom. And, so when you're, you know, I see, one of the things that I see, is that I see a lot of moms that are out there, and, you know, and I'm not, that's not my tribe, right? That's not who I want to, but I see a lot of mom people out there that are doing some good. And then I see some mom people out there that are not doing so good, that are, you know, that are like, if you can't juggle 20 balls with your left hand and hold a baby and breastfeed him at the same time, you're not a good mom.
Yeah.
And I just look at that and I go, oh my goodness, thank God that wasn't around when I was already feeling bad. Yeah. Like, ooh, I had postpartum depression, but when I had it, because my daughter just turned 32. So when I had it 32 years ago, it wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was like, they were telling me like, no, you got to get over it. You just got to get over it. You just got to get over it. And that's it. And I was like, oh, so tell me a little bit about you had a story to tell about postpartum with your baby.
Mm-hmm. So it's really sad. Like you mentioned, that's 32 years ago. That was really part of my story too. Like it was like everything was normal and I was dismissed a lot for how I was feeling while I was pregnant and after I had my daughter. It was like, well, that's normal, you just had a baby, or like, oh, give it some time. Oh, like, and because I'm a psychologist and I knew, I had to really advocate for myself and I had to say, like, I know I have postpartum and I am not okay and I need some help. And even then I still had to fight like to get treatment. Yes, wow. It was really bad. And so I complained about it. I wrote it in my survey and I was like, I knew what to do. So what happens to the moms that don't know? And they're just taking your word that you're like, it's normal. And this is how you're supposed to feel as a mom. This is why we see those stories on the news that are like moms hurting their babies or moms like killing their babies or killing themselves, because not because they want to, but like there's no support and they don't know. And they think that this is okay. And it's not, it is totally not. And so it was a really eye-opening experience for me with the medical field to see, like, I'm like, I totally see how so many people just fall through the cracks because they don't know, you know, and they're taking the doctor's word. But yeah, it was really unfortunate. And a lot of it all connected to the social media question from before. That was exactly how I felt. Like I would go on social media in the middle of the night while I'm breastfeeding. And yeah, I was seeing all these moms that looked like they had it all together and were doing all these things. And so I felt so alone because nobody talks about how hard it is those first few weeks, you know, like it's the fourth trimester for a reason. Right. And so I'm very open about my experience and I share the like realistic parts, like, because the things people say, like, this is the best time of your life. Enjoy every moment. And when you don't enjoy every moment, then it's like, whoa, like, well, am I a bad mom? Am I meant to not be a mom? Like all these things start going through your head. But no, realistically, you're a person and you're a human and we all have our limits and you're not going to enjoy every single moment. Yes, it is a very beautiful experience. Like I had like such an amazing birth that was also traumatic, because birth in itself, even if everything goes as planned, is traumatic. It's a trauma on your body. It's a lot to go through. And so none of this is talked about. And then once we become moms, it's all about the baby and they forget all about the mom. But a mother is also born. You are a new person being born. And so then we're struggling with, there's actually a term, it's called matrescence, which is like going through another adolescence when you become a mom, because your hormones are changing. Like you're having this whole identity crisis, like trying to hold on to your old self, but this new self is breaking through and trying to integrate like who you were and who you now are as a mom. Like there's just so much that's going on. And nobody talks about any of that, you know? And if anything, we're dismissed a lot. Like, well, you just had a baby and like, oh, but look, be so grateful. You have this beautiful bundle of joy and like things like that, that we're told that like confirm those ideas that we already have in our mind of like, I don't enjoy doing this all the time. I'm not enjoying being a mom. I don't know what I'm doing, you know? But the truth is most moms doubt themselves. Most moms wonder if they're doing a good job. And I can say that if you're worried about whether you're a good or bad mom, like you're already a better mom than you think you are, because a truly bad mom doesn't care if she's a good mom or not.
I agree with you. Thank you so much. You said something so beautiful. I hope that you maybe write something, that matrescence that you talked about. Really, I really think it's something that's needed that I haven't seen I have not seen. So you've got to follow that up with, you know, that would be awesome and amazing. I think you should really talk about that because that was beautiful. Dr. Elise, thank you so much for coming on. Muchas gracias.
Thank you.
And especially if you can take that Matrisense and really bring it to life for the Latina, for the mujerpreneur, because this is something that we don't see. And you have the key, my friend. You have the key.
Thank you.
So it has been a pleasure. And I tell us a little bit about where can somebody find you?
So I'm most active on Instagram. So you could find me at Dr. Elise Sanchez on Instagram. And I'm also on Facebook. My podcast is actually on hiatus right now. But Speak the Secret, you can find me on all major platforms there. I did have one full season of 22 episodes and then one episode for season two. And then it was like told to me to like stop. Like God was like, you're doing too much. Focus on your babies. And I was like, okay. So season two is not, you know, didn't continue, but I do have a bunch of episodes there. And then I'm on TikTok. I was having fun with TikTok for a while, but yeah, right now I'm really in the season of motherhood. I have a 3-year-old and a 6-month-old. And so just soaking up as much time as I can with them. I'm on leave from my full-time job and I'm actually not going back to my full-time job. So just lots of big transitions for me. But I love connecting with people online and just building community. So yeah, thank you so much for having me on here.
Thank you. And you have something special as well to gift, right? So everybody will find the link that she's got something special to give. So if you're listening to this, the link will also be on martyangel.podbean.com. You're going to see that link. And once again, reach out to Dr. Elise Sanchez. She's an amazing resource for all moms. It's just an amazing woman. Es una Latina bien hecha, mujer de éxito, unbounded. Thank you, everybody, so much. We are so incredibly grateful for her presence today. Gracias.
This episode brought to you by Celavive Hydrating and Lifting Sheet Mask. The Celavive Hydrating and Lifting Sheet Mask locks in intense moisture to perfectly prime your skin for restful sleep. Apply this relaxing hydration serum several times a week to pamper yourself and radiate your healthier looking complexion. Sheet masking is all the rage right now. Make it a regular part of your healthy skincare regimen today. Celavive Hydrating and Lifting Sheet Mask. Click the link below and get yours today.